29th, 2006, and this is the Cable Morning News. I'm Carlos Chavez.
And I'm Brian Smith.
Coming up on this program, a rights group calls for the police to suspend the use of tasers. Australia is bracing for another major cyclone, and Israel has a new ruling party. Weather for today calls for rain and sunshine with temperatures in the high 50s. Time is 7:01.
Health officials want Oregon parents to know about a national recall of charm bracelets that contain large amounts of lead. The voluntary recall of the 300,000 heart-shaped bracelets comes on the heels of the death of a Minnesota child who suffered acute lead poisoning after swallowing the jewelry. The charm has the shoe brand name Reebok engraved on one side and is attached to an 8-inch metal bracelet. It is given as a gift with the purchase of some Reebok shoes, and anyone who swallows a metal object is urged to call the Oregon Poison Center.
A condition called excited delirium was a contributing factor in the deaths since 2001 of at least 31 people who were shocked by taser stun guns. According to a study released by Amnesty International, further study is needed to examine the relationship between excited delirium and taser use. The study calls on police departments to suspend use of tasers until the research is completed. If police don't take that advice, Amnesty says, officers should restrict their taser use to situations where the taser is used only as an alternative to deadly force. Amnesty's 51-page report shows that more than 150 people in the United States have died since 2001 after being shocked with the weapons. 61 of those were in 2005. The review also found that most who died were unarmed men who didn't appear to pose a threat of death or serious injury at the time of being shocked. This from the Oregonian.
Fee increases are proposed for two Willamette National Forest campgrounds, one operated by the Detroit Ranger District and one operated by the McKenzie River Ranger District. Public comment is being accepted on the proposals through April, and the fee increases are scheduled to go into effect shortly after that. Comments should be directed to Danny Povani, Willamette National Forest Recreation Fee Program Coordinator at the Detroit Ranger Station at 503-854-4208.
The wheels are in motion for a federal disaster declaration for Oregon commercial salmon anglers and the coastal communities that depend on the incomes from the commercial and sport charter fleets. Governor Kulongoski told the crowd that attended an emergency salmon summit this morning at the state capitol, "I've already prepared an urgent request for the Federal Secretary of Commerce to take the steps toward a declaration of economic disaster, which will lead to an authorization of federal dollars to help ease the economic impact of a complete or partial closure. Final decisions about whether there will be a total shutdown or sharply curtailed salmon seasons off most of the Oregon coast and into California south of San Francisco Bay will be made next week by the members of the Pacific Fishery Management Council meeting in Sacramento."
The nation's largest labor organization yesterday criticized plans to expand the guest worker programs for immigrants seeking to come to the United States. Parting company with the longtime Senate Democratic allies who pushed successfully to include them in broad-based immigration legislation. President John Sweeney said in a statement released the day after the Senate Judiciary Committee cleared an immigration bill, "The guest worker programs cast workers into a perennial second-class status and unfairly put their fates into their employers' hands." Sweeney's statement praised numerous provisions of the overall immigration legislation, particularly a part that gives undocumented people an opportunity to apply for citizenship. Still, his criticism underscored the unusual political pressure at work as President Bush and Congress grapple with an emotional issue in the run-up to midterm elections.
The Supreme Court has begun hearing a case on the legality of the military trials at Guantanamo Bay prison camp. Lawyers for detainee Salim Ahmed Hamdan say the tribunals are unconstitutional, and legal experts say a potential landmark ruling against the trials would curb Bush's expanded powers in punishing suspected terrorists. Hamdan's lawyer told Supreme Court justices in Washington that the tribunals, formerly called military commissions, were flawed, adding that this is a military commission that is literally unburdened by the laws, constitution, and treaties of the United States. Amdon's lawyers earlier said the commissions breached the 1949 Geneva Convention governing the treatment of enemy combatants in time of war. The Bush administration says the conventions do not apply to al-Qaeda members. Of the 490 suspected al-Qaeda and Taliban prisoners held at the base, 10 people, including Hamdan, face military trials. The military commissions were set up by the Pentagon on Bush's orders.
Former lobbyist Jack Abramoff is scheduled to be sentenced in Miami on charges of conspiracy and wire fraud. This from the BBC. Abramoff has pleaded guilty to the charges, which relate to the purchase of a fleet of casino boats. In a separate case, he has admitted to tax evasion, defrauding his clients, and conspiring to bribe public officials. A federal inquiry into his actions is focusing on his dealings with up to 20 politicians in Congress. Abramoff is cooperating in the wide-ranging inquiry that began in 2004 after reports that he and business partner Michael Scanlon had received some $45 million from Native American tribes with casinos. Abramoff is accused of exploiting the tribes to enrich himself and his friends, and offering politicians in both houses of Congress lavish meals, tickets to major sporting events, and trips. No date has been set for the sentencing in the second case, but his cooperation with investigators is likely to lead to a reduction in jail time.
And now we move over to Pledge Central, where Bill and Ani, I believe it's Bill and Ani, are waiting to hear from you.
And I'm here. Carlos, if you can hear me, I'm over here along with Bill. Is just getting
Kathleen.
Settled. Bill is just getting settled at Pledge Central.
We're going to have to make do with Kathleen instead of Ani.
That works.
Here she comes, Ani. She appeared like a specter out of the woodwork.
Make do with Kathleen. I'm so sure. Well,
that was flattering.
Good morning. It is time to support the morning news. Please do call and support the morning news, because, in fact, where else can you hear this information at this hour of the day, brought to you by volunteers from your very own community, selecting news stories that they know matter to you, to your life, to your action, to your ability to connect with community. Call right now and support that. 503-232-8818.
And they select those stories, Ani. Out of a very different, they may be volunteers, but they aren't volunteers in the sense of people not having the credentials or the understandings to, in fact, do wonderful radio. What they have is our volunteers. First, they're sort of screened and have a long apprenticeship. Secondly, they've all developed the capacities for reading between the lines and presenting the news and understanding the news to present you, in fact, a very different set of, according to a very different set of principles for understanding today's world. It's radically different than the network news or Fox News or any of the news who, in fact, celebrate or... Yes, I'm speaking into the mic. You're getting a very different vision. You're getting a vision that, in fact, looks at history from the bottom, that understands the forces that actually move the world, and that's critical of the corporate world. Very radically different than the news that you get on.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think it's radically different.
I'm Chris Andre, and I actually do have the credentials. I bought a UPI press pass for $5 on the street outside the Atlanta Hotel in Bangkok in 1975.
And you say that.
There
you
go,
that.
Credentialed journalist.
Good.
I knew we got them somewhere. Good, Chris. Good on you.
And you get a doctorate from Cable University, too, which I am granting right now. People should call. We have
503.
Answer the phone.
Let's give those numbers, Bill. 503-232-8818. 503-232-8818. or 1-877-500-5266 is very important that we hear your support. Think about what information means to you. Think about what this kind of unfettered by corporate influence information means to you. What will you give? Will you give $60? Will you give $5 a month to KABU, your community radio station? Call now with that level of support. We'd be happy to hear from you. 503-232-8818. Again, 503-232-8818.
The second part of the federal investigation into the leak of covert CIA agent Valerie Plame Wilson is nearly complete. Attorneys and government officials who have remained close to the probe say that a grand jury will likely return an indictment against one or two senior Bush administration officials. This from Truth Out. The sources work or worked at the State Department, the CIA, and the National Security Council, and some are attorneys close to the case. They were not permitted to speak publicly about the details of the investigation. In interviews over the last few days, they said that Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald started to prepare paperwork to present to the grand jury seeking an indictment against White House Deputy Chief of Staff Karl Rove or National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley. There's also a possibility that he may seek to indict both Rove and Hadley, charging them with perjury, obstruction of justice, and conspiracy related to their roles in the leak of Plame Wilson's identity and their effort to cover up their involvement. It may take more than a month before Fitzgerald presents the paperwork outlining the government's case against one or both of the officials and asks the grand jury to return an indictment. Attorneys close to the leak case confirmed that Fitzgerald had met with the grand jury half a dozen times since January and recently told the jurors that he planned to present them with the government's case against Rove or Hadley.
Al-Qaeda conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui offered last month to testify for prosecutors against himself at his death penalty trial and told agents that he did not want to die in prison. The bizarre testimony capped a trial that has seen more than its share of the unusual over the 3 weeks. Introduced as part of a brief government rebuttal case, his testimony may be the first evidence the 37-year-old Frenchman of Moroccan descent hopes for martyrdom through execution and could provide fodder for the closing arguments of both prosecutors and Moussaoui's court-appointed defense attorneys. The U.S. District Judge set this afternoon for closing arguments on whether the actions Moussaoui has admitted make him eligible for the death penalty. The jury must decide whether the only man charged in this country in the September 11th plot will be executed or imprisoned for life. Moussaoui offered on February 2nd, just before jury selection began, to testify that he was to have hijacked and piloted a fifth plane on September 11th. He did not ask that prosecutors stop pursuing the death penalty in return. He sought only better conditions in prison and a promise not to be called to testify against other Al-Qaeda members.
The Senate yesterday rejected the notion that it could not discipline itself, defeating a proposal to create an office to investigate possible ethics violations. Senators rejected the idea of an Office of Public Integrity by a 67-30 vote as they moved toward a vote today on legislation to tighten rules and laws covering congressional contacts with lobbyists, with Congress trying to restore its scandal-tainted reputation before the fall election, passage is a near certainty. Opposition to the new office was led by members of the existing Ethics Committee. They insisted that the current system of self-policing was working fine and the proposed office would duplicate their work. Many advocates of a lobbying overhaul joined by clean government advocacy groups have maintained that an independent ethics commission must be important of any legislation. They say the ethics committees, particularly in the more partisan House, have proved incapable of addressing the lobbying scandals and ethics problem that have plagued Congress in recent years.
The Bush administration failed to enter into negotiations with Iran on its nuclear program in May of 2003 because neoconservatives who had advocated destabilization and regime change were able to block any serious diplomatic engagement with Tehran. According to former administration officials, the same neoconservative veto power also prevented the administration from adopting any official policy statement on Iran. Lawrence Wilkerson, then Chief of Staff to Secretary of State Colin Powell, says the failure to adopt a formal Iran policy in 2002 to 2003 was a result of obstruction by a secret cabal of neoconservatives in the administration, led by Vice President Dick Cheney. The Iranian negotiation offer, transmitted to the State Department in early May of 2003 by the Swiss ambassador in Tehran, acknowledged that Iran would have to address U.S. concerns about its nuclear program, although it made no specific concession in advance of the talks. It also raised the possibility of cutting off Iran's support for Hamas and Islamic Jihad and converting Hezbollah into a purely socio-political organization. That was an explicit response to Powell's demand in late March that Iran end its support for terrorism, this according to Interpress.
3 years after the occupation of Iraq, calls for unity in fighting it are gaining ground across the country. The memory of the invasion brings sadness, but Iraqis still take heart each year when they hear and see the demonstrations of solidarity with them all over the world. Usama Asad, a 34-year-old living in Baghdad, told IPS that the anniversary of the invasion this week was a very sad day for all Iraqis because it was the beginning of the destruction of Iraq by occupation forces without real reason. Although the anniversary always brings new frustration in Iraq, there is some hope too. The continuing anti-war movement is welcome. Those Iraqis who can receive images of anti-war marches by television are excited to do so. Others read about them in the paper or hear from their neighbors. With the third anniversary come and pass, Iraqis are still looking for basic services such as electricity and clean water. The foreign press rarely discuss the initial drive to war now. Having tired of the changing reasons the Bush administration offers to excuse the war, this according to Interpress.
Hypoxia, the lack of oxygen in water, is what scientists are learning that the stress caused by it interferes with genes that help make male and female sex hormones in fish. The lead author of the new study found that newborn zebrafish outnumber females 3-1 when subjected to hypoxia, similar to the dead zones in worldwide waters. The female zebrafish, a common fish in home tropical tanks, have testosterone levels about twice as high as normal. There are nearly 150 dead zones worldwide, including over 30 in U.S. waters. The most well-known is a zone in the Gulf of Mexico about the size of New Jersey, and many areas and species may be affected in a similar way. The study will appear in the May issue of the journal Environmental Science and Technology.
Australia is getting set for a second major cyclone in 2 weeks as a storm with winds of around 175 miles per hour is headed for its western coast. This from the BBC. Cyclone Glenda is expected to hit northwest Australia's Pilbara coastline late Thursday. The 10,000 residents of the coastline are preparing their houses as Australia's northeast is still recovering from Cyclone Larry. That storm, which hit the state of Queensland, caused no fatalities but left a damage bill which is expected to top $770 million. Cyclone Glenda's current wind speeds are similar to that of Larry's prior to hitting the coast. It is one of the strongest cyclones off the Australian coastline. Australia's Bureau of Meteorology warned that the storm's effects might be felt even before it hit land.
After declaring victory in Israel's elections, Acting Prime Minister Ehud Olmert's Kadima Party said it would quickly form a broad ruling coalition that will carry out its plan to pull out of much of the West Bank and draw Israel's borders by 2010. Kadima won only 28 seats in the election, less than the 35 it had hoped for, but still making it the largest party in the 120-member parliament. Like every other ruling party in Israel's history, it will have to form a coalition government with other parties. Haim Ramon, a senior Kadima lawmaker, told Israel Radio that the party is confident it will get broad backing for its withdrawal plan in parliament. Olmert renewed his call for peace talks with the Palestinians and said he is prepared to make compromises, such as uprooting some Jewish settlements in the West Bank. But he said Israel will act on its own if it cannot reach peace with the Palestinians. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas said the results of the Israeli election would have little effect unless Olmert agrees to peace talks, adding, "We want negotiations and not to dictate unilateral solutions." Final results are expected Friday, officials said, but for the first time, Israel will not be led by Labor or Likud. The results showed voters turning away from conventional parties to an assortment of third parties.
Former Liberian President Charles Taylor, who vanished in Nigeria after authorities reluctantly agreed to transfer him to a war crimes tribunal, was arrested trying to cross the border into Cameroon. Taylor was captured last night by security forces in the far northeastern border town of Gamboru in Borno State, nearly 600 miles from the Via in southern Calabar, from which he reportedly disappeared Monday night. Information Minister Frank Nwiki said in a statement. A Nigerian police officer said later that Taylor had left Nigeria and was being flown back to Liberia.
Hundreds of thousands of protesters took to the streets of France yesterday, disrupting schools and transport in a nationwide strike to pressure the Prime Minister, Dominique de Villepin, to withdraw his controversial new employment law. This from The Guardian. Organizers of the marches claim that 3 million people joined marches with major demonstrations in Marseille, Bordeaux, and a dozen cities and towns across the country. In Paris, unions estimate that 700,000 people joined the biggest and most heavily policed demonstration that snaked its way to Place de la République over several hours, led by students, schoolchildren, and trade unionists, including striking Air France workers. Police fired tear gas into the crowd as isolated skirmishes broke out after the rally, with gangs of hooded teenagers throwing traffic cones and taunting police. Some 50 baton-wielding trade union security guards clashed with another group of young people who tried to break the iron gates of a lingerie shop. The street demonstrations were the sixth in one month against Villepin's controversial first employment contract, which he continued yesterday to insist was the only way to combat France's crippling youth employment figures, the worst in Western Europe. And now it's our second chance to head back over to Pledge Central, where they can give you all the information you'll need to know about becoming a member of KBOO.
Well, I've got some good news and some bad news here, Annie.
What is that, Bill?
The bad news is, I'll start with that, and then
okay,
we can have inspiring good news. The bad news is there have been no calls during the morning news yet.
This will change.
Yeah. But the good news is that we have all of these wonderful people waiting for the... Now, stop laughing, comrades.
We're happy to be here.
The good news is that we're happy to be here, and we are ready for your calls.
That's right. We are ready. We are waiting. We are primed. We are so eager, in fact, to hear from you this morning. 503-232-8818. You know, we are hoping to raise $240 for the morning news. It is support that we need to continue this kind of programming. It's support that we need to keep KBOO growing strong. That can be easily accomplished right now with just two people giving $10 a month. Two people saying, this is my moment. This is the chance that I'm going to go ahead and take, well, a positive step to support my entire community by making sure KBOO continues broadcasting in the community's interest for the next year, the next 2 years, the next 5 years, for as long as I can continue that support at $10 a month. 503-232-8818, 503-232-8818, or if you live outside the Portland area, you can call us toll-free, 1-877-500-5266.
I know there are people out there who have said to themselves, this year I am going to call KABU and become a member and support the station that's important to me, that I listen to, that I in fact depend on. Not listening every day, perhaps, maybe only listening during drive time, but a station that I depend on not only to give me news that accurately reflects the world and how it works, but that I depend on to give me the set of ideas and the confidence to know that my values are in fact affirmed in daily life by hundreds of thousands and millions of other people. That the current dominance of state politics by the right is in fact not going to last forever, that my values are in fact at some point, it'll take a long time and many movements prevail. That's just invaluable. That's something in life that only KABU can bring you, only the media can bring you, that reflection of the hopes and ideals of so many other people out there. And it's so worth supporting, and it's so important to all of us.
And it's easy to do. You just call 503-232-8818, and you say yes. You say yes to community. You say yes to independent information brought to you by a team of volunteers working shoulder to shoulder in the wee hours of the morning to flesh out information, to track down what's happening around the world, what's just happened as you slept, and let you know the world you're waking up to. That is the value of KABU's Morning News.
You know,
won't you call right now with your gift of just $60? $60 for 1 year's membership. Again, you could do that $5 a month. Call 503-232-8818. If it's easier, you could put that $60 membership right on your credit card when you come to the phone and dial 503-232-8818, or again toll free 1-877-500-5266.
You know, Annie, living in sort of the bourgeois world where everything is, you know, all value is calculated in money value, and where in fact often we feel insecure. Who knows? The company that one works for may go to China. You know, and you become obsessive. I feel it, in fact, and I'm relatively secure now. I feel it. You know, I go into a restaurant and I look at the... It's so ridiculous. Even the modest restaurants I go to, I look at the prices of the thing rather than the... what I want to eat. It's really absurd, and you have to fight it. But it's this sort of wanting to retain, you know, sort of your security and your money, and in fact what you do is resist appeals by radio stations and so many other wonderful things that actually need the resources and that you'd feel a lot better about supporting. I'm not sure if this is a stimulates giving, talking about it, but maybe in the long run people should reflect on it. It's really important.
I think actually you are making an important point, and that is in times of insecurity, communities are actually much stronger when they hold together. And it's important as we face challenging times, as we face uncertain times, it's truly very important that you take action, concerted action with your community to support those organizations, to support those structures that can keep the community strong and connected. In fact, as we are looking at uncertainty in those situations, you know, fear comes up, a lot of things come up, and one way to really combat that is by really hanging tight.
There's only one
with
really,
others.
Right.
And one of those others you can hang tight with is your very own community station, because we, in fact, keep the community connected. I've heard it said. I think it's true. Go ahead. Connect with us. 503-232-8818. That's 503-232-8818.
And that's the KABU Morning News for Wednesday, March 29th, 2006. Weather for today calls for sun and rain with temperatures in the upper 50s.